Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And now here is Stephen Stone.
And thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome into Straight Talk. We do it every Monday through Friday at this time, talking about Rock Hill, Fort Mill, Tinkakee, the great county of York, and anything that's shaken up and down I-77. You will hear the newsmakers here on this very program. Straight Talk, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. By Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us today, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. An old friend is with us today. Known you probably since I first got here back in 1999. She is Beth Covington with the York County Board of Elections. And you talk about a group of individuals that has not gone without their challenges. First of all, it's great to see you again. I'm sorry I wasn't in contact sooner that we didn't get to do this together.
But hey, I still love you though.
Better late than never, and exactly. I still love you too, kid. You look great.
Thank you.
You see? See, I told you I'd start it off in a positive.
And you haven't changed a bit.
Well, it depends who you ask. At any rate, when we first met Beth, she was with, of course, the United Way of, you know, York County, doing great work there. And then in my absence, you moved on to the York County Board of Elections, government work. And what exactly do you do there? We hear you a lot on the news with Matthew Cray on WRHI. And, of course, you and I spoke a week ago when I had questions regarding the primaries, and we'll get into the runoffs that are coming up. But for those who may not know the Beth Covington story, since this is the Beth Covington show for the next 30 minutes, as I try to struggle to keep her from taking control of everything and interviewing me, tell folks about Beth Covington.
Well, I am with the York County Voter Registration and Elections. Been there 10 years. And my main job is trainer for all the folks that work the polls on Election Day. But I also deal with media, my most favorite part of my job.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we've got great media outlets here. And folks really do help us get the word out about elections. And like you said, we have a runoff coming up in a week from today. So that's what I do on a day-to-day basis.
All right, now, and you're originally from York County, right?
I am a York County girl.
Okay.
Western York County girl.
Yeah, you're kind of out there. You're very close to the line and being on the other side, but through the grace of God and smart parenting, just this side of the border, right?
Just this side, and it's beautiful out there. I love being around family and having a little bit of breathing space.
Nothing like living in the country. All right. Let's talk about the poll workers. You really had some challenges this time around because basically you didn't have what you were hoping to have, and you had to get volunteers and all kinds of folks and get them trained up and ready to go. And overall, it wasn't too bad of an operation. You know, it could have been a lot worse when you had folks doing this for the first time and that intimidation factor.
Absolutely. It was, quite an experience. Not what we had anticipated, of course, when we were going into the primary originally. However, when COVID kind of really hit, that was our target worker. Basically, they're in that group, that high-risk group. Most of our folks are over 65, and a lot of them have underlying health issues. So we were not a bit surprised when we lost over 50% of our workforce, who are those folks that have never missed an election in 20 years. And they knew that at that point, they really didn't need to be in the public like what we expected with the, you know, of course, voters on the primary. So it was definitely a unique experience. And to say we survived it is about all I can say. I really do want to give a shout out and a thanks to York County government and the South Carolina National Guard, our school districts, because these organizations, including the City of York, let us have their employees for the day. These folks trained online last minute, but they did have training put in, and that's what really got us through that election are these folks that came in last second. A lot of high school kids were out there that day, too.
Well, yes, and those are your poll workers of tomorrow, so they might as well start getting their civics lessons early. When I went to the polls, they were gloved up, of course,
yeah.
And they had their, you know, their mask on and everything, but they were very nice, very welcoming, very cordial, more than accommodating. I think the whole process took me about 4 minutes. It took longer to walk from my truck into the building and back out again for the time that I actually spent in there to cast the ballot.
And that's actually more of what we expected. We really pushed absentee voting by mail so that that group of voters that are 65 and older or that have underlying health issues wouldn't feel pressured to go to the polls, or they wouldn't not vote, just stay home and not vote. So we just wanted to let folks know, go ahead and vote by mail. It's safe. Especially when they came out with the fact that they didn't have to have a witness signature. That helped us a lot. So we saw those absentee by mail numbers, or absentee numbers in general, more than double what we normally have. So we kind of thought that that would take some of the pressure off at the polls. That did not happen. We had more people show up at the polls than we normally do. So, I mean, our workers, they had a long day. I'm just going to be very frank about it. It was tough on them. We could have easily doubled the number of workers in some of those precincts that really had the turnout.
Do you find that there's more people coming out to vote now than there were in past elections? You just mentioned, you know, you had double the absentee ballots, and that's right, in 2016, I think the number was 2,000. This time you had 4,000-plus ballots, I believe, come in spite of the alleged controversy over absentee balloting or voting by mail and that sort of thing. How big a challenge is that to you all?
Well, to us, absentee by mail is what we do. I mean, this is nothing new. Some people call it voting by mail. In South Carolina, it's truly absentee voting by mail. And, I mean, as long as I've been a voter, that's been an option. So we already have all the policies and procedures in place for that. I think maybe some other states struggled with the concept if they don't already do that. But since we already know what we're doing in that avenue, I mean, elections and voting, it's kind of in our wheelhouse. So,
well, yeah, and sometimes, you know, things can go awry. I mean, we heard a story back before the election that there were some absentee ballots from one of the southernmost counties of our state, the Charleston is what I want to say, that area, that for some crazy reason they wound up in Maryland or something like this. And, you know,
right.
I mean, I get it, things happen, you know,
right.
But that is such a rare, rare, rare occurrence, isn't it?
It is, and we had already decided, interestingly enough, to bring all of the absentee in-house, meaning we did not outsource with any other company to do absentee. So,
and I think that's what caused this.
It is, yeah. And so for us, every ballot that went out in the mail came out of York, South Carolina, and came back to York, South Carolina. So mail is a challenge. It is a challenge, and we talk to our voters when they call in. If they're calling in later towards the election, we're very upfront about that and say, if there's any way you can go to the polls, you may want to do that, because we cannot guarantee the mail. And so, you know, we have to contend with that. We know this, but we always try to advise our voters, if it's running short on time, you know, maybe it'd be better to drive the ballot back to us and put it in our drop box outside.
Well, what are your thoughts on the debate about the quote-unquote fraud in the CA system there, where everybody's just mailed a ballot versus ours, where the absentee ballot had to be requested?
Well, again, this is how we have the process already in place.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is when you request an absentee application, and when you sign that and send it back to us, we actually look at your signature and compare it to the signatures we have on file. So we need to know that you are requesting that ballot. And then we mail you the ballot, and even after they took the witness signature out, you still have to sign the voter's oath on the back of the envelope. And so we look at that signature and make sure that it matches. So that's how we're ensuring that when we send a ballot to Stephen Stone, Stephen Stone is the one voting it and sending it back. So it's one of those things that we have in place, safeguards that we have in place.
How are you able to verify that, though?
Well, whenever you register to vote, we have scanned in your voter application. And if you've ever made a change of address, that's on file. So we can watch your signature over the years.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's really interesting. Like, if you can say, well, Stephen has a funky way of making his S's.
Okay.
Maybe Stone doesn't look the same, but that S is very distinct. Then we can... Then.
So it's not like you've got to bring in handwriting analysis experts for this. I mean, it's...
No.
It's pretty common.
I feel like we are, though, after checking this many petitions that we have had over the years.
That's true. Now, you had people that were able to come to the office there in the city of York and vote early.
Right. We are open always, always 30 days before the election. And in this case, I've never seen this before, but we actually opened a week early. So we were open for 38 days, roughly, for absentee in person. So, yeah, we definitely saw that pick up towards the end, which is pretty normal. People actually start thinking about the election. So we'll see our numbers increase. But, yeah, we were actually kind of surprised. I mean, like I said, we had pushed absentee by mail. But we saw, what, over 5,000 absentee ballots total.
Right.
In-house and by mail. So, yeah, it was a pretty good turnout on the absentee part.
Now, this coming Tuesday, you will have the runoff election for Senate seat number 16 and, of course, your county council seats number 1 and number 6, I believe it is.
That's right.
You're geared up and ready for that, obviously. Any special things that are going to be done there, or is it just on a more reduced scale?
It's pretty much a reduced scale. Everything that we do, you have to do it for every election, whether it's all 96 precincts or if it's just one or two precincts. You still have to do the same procedures. So we know that typically runoffs have a smaller turnout, but this election surprised us. So maybe our voters are going to come back out. That would be awesome if they would, and go ahead and vote in that runoff. Now, just to let folks know, if they did not vote on June 9th or they didn't vote absentee June 9th, whatever, they can vote in the runoff.
Okay.
If they're in one of those districts, and if they voted Republican on June 9th, because this is a Republican runoff,
right,
then they're more than welcome to come and continue that with the runoff on the 23rd.
So if they voted Democrat a week or so ago, they're going to be sitting this one out. They won't be able to vote.
Correct.
For this one.
The Democratic Party completed theirs
right
on the 9th, so they're done until November.
Okay. Now, I want you to explain the numbers situation. You know, on election night, of course, we're looking at the computer screen, you know, down in the newsroom there, and it took a while for, you know, you to start getting your numbers. And we started to actually get some calls from some folks saying, well, you know, are you ever going to get around to giving us the numbers here? And we'd say, well, we don't have them yet. They haven't posted it. And, you know, so maybe you could give us some inside baseball, if you would, as to how that whole procedure, you know, the polls close at 7 o'clock.
Correct.
Okay. It's 8:30, and I still haven't seen no numbers to start reporting on the radio, and we're pretty much winging it. And
so you're going, what's going on in York?
Well, you know, I hope she's all right. Are we going to have to organize a militia and go out there, or, you know, a posse or something? But you can kind of pick up the narrative from there.
Sure. Yes, it's actually really interesting what happens in York County. You know, this is specific to York County, but... because our county is kind of spread out, we have drop sites for some of our more outlying areas of Rock Hill, and then, of course, Fort Mill, TKK. So when I first started working here, and we had 89 precincts, all 89 precincts came to York, and they would literally wrap around half the town getting in line to drop off stuff. So you would start seeing results kind of quicker because there was always a constant motion of dropping off, getting results, sending them in to be tabulated. Now, we had, I believe, 36 precincts dropped off in York. And that's going to be your Western York County for the most part. and then a few of Rock Hill on this side. Then you're not going to get anything else until we get the truck in. So once we get the truck in from either the outliers of Rock Hill or that Fort Mill TKK truck, and it can't leave till they all get there.
Okay.
So sometimes that holds things up. And if you recall back last week, we had several precincts that were two precincts in one polling location.
Right.
Due to lack of workers and facilities not wanting to have those that many people in their building. So that clerk had to close down two precincts. So it took a little longer.
Okay.
But yeah, it is going to be a delay. And when media comes to the office, I try to explain that to them too. Like, you're waiting on a truck. And when you see that truck come in, you know that numbers are going to start following shortly thereafter.
Yeah, because once upon a time, you know, we should just kind of go out there and hang out at the precinct and then, you know, phone it in from there.
Right.
Now in this wonderful era of computers, you know, you guys are posting it online. And we started to see some numbers for the Senate 16 thing on the state site, but nothing on the York County side. I thought, well, now this is interesting. And then it occurred to me, dummy, it also is part of Lancaster County,
yes,
okay?
Yes, indeed.
So, you know, those are the numbers you're seeing before York County joins in, and you could see how it all shifted and moved around. And
it was interesting
sort of
to watch that, actually.
Yeah, it really was, and very entertaining at a certain point as well. Beth Covington is with us this afternoon. She is from the York County Board of Elections, and we're talking about the challenges that they've just had, and I guess some of the challenges that they're going to be facing, because there is a biggie coming up in November, and we'll come back and talk to her in a moment. Right now, we'll take our mid-program break. Remind you that Straight Talk is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, here's the pressure part of the whole gig here this afternoon. We broadcast live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, across from Winthrop University, where they make fresh subs and salads before your eyes, Beth. And there's only one way they do that magically. It is
slice,
garden. There you go. Beth and her chorus. We're back after this.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Hit the spot, definitely.
Friends are great, and the company's great, and the food is fantastic. Bread's fresh, and they make my special for me every day.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
My concern is, let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke. Those things are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka, expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Are you looking to relax, spend time with the family, or cruise the open road with your new motorcycle to get away? Founders Federal Credit Union is offering low interest rates on recreational vehicle loans. Whether you need a boat, jet ski, ATV, camper, or a motorcycle for your next adventure, we can help. Relax, it's time to play. Visit foundersfcu.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Nicole Thompson, assistant principal at Griggs Road Elementary School in Clover.
The connectivity program, it's more than just academics. It became helping them to feel part of a school system, have a voice in their building and inside of their classrooms, but it also provided us an opportunity to really get to know families one-on-one. Technology is a gateway for students to really see their potential and what 21st century learning is all about and to be ready. Luckily, Comporium was willing to get on board, helping us to educate our students.
Hear the full story at humantech.comporium.com. Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Good fresh food, even fresher than Subway, and it's also on a paleo diet.
I like the people, I like the food, and being picked on.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are on our Straight Talk program for this Tuesday afternoon. How fitting it would be a Tuesday, right, with
Tuesday.
Elections and everything. Beth Covington here from the York County Board of Elections, and she'll be busy again 1 week from today, as will Wanda Hemphill and their cohorts there at the York County Board of Elections, because we have a runoff happening for three seats, two in the York County Council, one state Senate seat, and then the dust settles until November. And you've got to start it all up, crank it all back up again. But you got a little time to get ready for that, or do you?
You would think that. I know we hear this all the time. What do you do when it's not election season? I'm like, tell me when it's not election season at this point.
Yeah.
No, we are looking ahead. Actually, before I left the office today, Wanda and I discussed briefly. Looking down towards November, because that election, this election had 17% turnout. That one will have about 70% turnout.
So, really?
Yeah, it's a huge difference. And with that, I would love to have, whereas in this primary, I had just over 400 workers out there in York County. I'd like to have at least 1,000 for the presidential. That's a lot of people.
It would seem that you're going to need a lot more for the presidential, because you've got that, you've got the Senate, state Senate.
Absolutely.
And you've got U.S. Senate, and you've got Congress, and everybody's running for
ballot.
Re-election or election, and yeah, it is
it's a big
rather
ballot.
Huge.
And even down to your lower, the school boards haven't filed yet, but that'll be coming up. And your sheriff, coroner, solicitor, clerk of courts on this one. So there's a lot on this ballot, a lot of things that will interest people, including the presidential, of course. So, yeah, we usually get about a 68-70% turnout here in York County. So we need workers. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like COVID is going away. Actually, it's
not
kind of ramping
soon.
Up.
Yeah, it's
so. We're thankful that the state provided a lot of PPE for our workers. We had the masks, the gloves, the sneeze guards, the face shields, the little cotton swabs so that people didn't have to touch the screen.
That's right.
So we anticipate to have that again in November, but we just got to have the people there. We need people power. So we'd like to go ahead and encourage people if they have an interest in that, especially that younger group. And I had so many of my younger workers come back to work and say, you know what, I'm healthy, I'm young, I'm not in the high-risk area, let me work, because I know that somebody 65 and older, they can't.
Right.
So I was so appreciative of that, and just, the kindness of these people really meant a lot to me, because they wanted to see this process continue to go smoothly. And I mean, gosh, how much more could you ask for? That was just amazing. So now I just need a lot more people with that mindset to come out and agree to work.
How do you recruit for such an undertaking, though?
No, right? It is hard. It's really hard. How do you get in touch with folks, especially
right.
in those areas where you have a lot of new people moving in? How do you contact them? And quite frankly, it's going to have to be through word of mouth. And I don't live in Fort Mill, but if you do and you're listening, then talk to your friends and your neighbors. Even if you don't want to work, encourage someone else to work, and or at least to learn more about it. So that's really, we've gone through the churches and we've gone through clubs, and you know, our current workers, we ask them all the time to try to touch base with their groups, if they're in a gardening group or if they're in a bridge group, to talk to their friends. So we're hoping that, you know, we can continue to increase our numbers going into November.
You got a couple months before November, but what if you're not able to get enough workers? Are you going to have to combine your polling locations again because of the lack of workers, or have you thought that far along? Or
I'm not ready to even consider that at this moment. At this point, we're going to work under the assumption that we're going to see the numbers come out. We have a lot of folks who will only work presidentials, so. Mm-hmm. Let's hope that they will continue to do so and then bring a couple of buddies with them. Okay. The training is, I mean, it is necessary. This is not knowledge that you just are born with.
Right.
You do need to go through a training, but, you know, we can work with that. And
how long is the training?
If you do it online, it's about 3 hours. If you do it in person, it's 6.
Why the difference?
Because I talk more than the video does. But, I mean, we talk about when you do training with us, you know, with me, because that's who you're training with is me.
Okay.
You get a lot more of information, stories about what's happened and why we do it this way, and this is how York County handles business. And so it's a little more interesting. I mean, it's 6 hours with me.
Well, and that in itself is a huge bonus.
That's
but do you
right.
think it's a question of having to offer more money than you currently are paying your poll workers?
You know, the
state. You think it's a matter of money talks?
Sometimes. You'd be surprised. A lot of folks that come here from other states, they think it's a volunteer position, and they had no idea there was any pay associated with it. Mm-hmm. So those people are pleasantly surprised to receive payment. And then others are, you know, of course, if we could say, well, we pay you $300, yeah, that would be great, but that's not realistic.
Right.
In the budget for the county or the state. So we are reimbursed by the state for our election workers. So we pay whatever the state pays us. And there was a little bit of an increase for COVID because they did have to go through additional training on the PPE and how we're going to handle business with the cotton swabs and all that. So they did get a little bit of an increase for that.
I do like the new voting machines. I thought those were good. Yeah, I thought those were good, and they seem to work very well.
You know, in general, people love them.
Mm-hmm.
I think out of all the people I've met, maybe two or three have issue, but it's shocking how many people just have really fallen in love with having a ballot to look at before they put it in the scanner.
All right. Now, what do you pay the poll workers? Are you at liberty to say?
Sure. It's $135, and that includes training and working.
Right.
So even if you've worked before, you still have to go through a refresher, which is, of course, a good thing.
Right.
And that's usually 2 hours. So for training and working on Election Day, it's $135. This time it was $165 due to the COVID increase. But
is it going to be that again? Because as you said earlier, it's highly likely that COVID's not going away anytime soon.
It in November, yes, it would stay. Well, it's up to the state if they give us the COVID bonus again.
Okay.
But it's always $135.
So this was a $30 bonus, COVID bonus, if you
right.
will, that the state added onto it this time around.
And yeah.
There's no word yet on whether they'll do that again.
No, November's down the pipe. We got to get through a runoff first.
Yes, you do, and it is a week from today, and I know we'll
yes.
be talking more between now and then, and on election night, I'm sure you'll be checking
I'll
in
be
with
there.
Your buddy, Mr. Cray,
yes.
as Matthew will be handling those duties, but we appreciate you coming out today and educating us, and see, this didn't hurt a bit, did it?
It didn't hurt.
I told
and
you it wouldn't.
It was so awesome to be with you.
Well, it's great to see you again, too,
Thank
dear
y'all
friend.
For having us.
All right, anytime. That's going to do it for our Straight Talk show for today. Beth Covington has been with us from the York County Board of Elections, and the runoff is 1 week from today. Straight Talk is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. We do it right here at Substation 2 every Monday through Friday at this time. Home of fresh subs and salads right across the street from Cherry Road and Winthrop University. And the way they do it is led by Beth Covington and Maestro Ruffalo. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. We'll see you tomorrow for Straight Talk. Nikita Jackson, Rock Hill City Councilwoman, will be here.